Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
But this summer, at least when I'm preaching, we're spending time in a series called Weird. We're looking at some of the stranger, some of the more difficult, some of the more overlooked stories in the Gospel of Mark. Stories that when we read through our Bibles, stories that we come to, and sometimes they're hard to make sense of. That we read them and we go, I don't know what happened there. I don't know why they said that. I don't know why they did that. But maybe somebody else does. And so we can kind of have a tendency to skip past them or to look for a different story. And even as pastors, we can be guilty of this too. There are passages and there are stories in the Bible that we tend to avoid because they don't sound right. They don't sound good. They don't sound like the stories we want to preach, that we might think, there's a better version of this story somewhere else. And so I'll use that other story because these can be very difficult stories. They can be hard to understand. They can be hard to explain. They can be hard to walk through. They're hard to fit neatly into the version of Jesus that we know, the version of Jesus that we want to talk about. But sometimes the stories that we skip are the stories where there's real, deep, significant grace that maybe we just haven't seen yet. The sort of the tagline for this story, the thesis for our sermon series, the thesis for our time together is this idea that the story may be weird, but the grace is real. And today's story is actually one of the passages that helped inspire this whole sermon series for me. This is one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. This is one of the most difficult passages in the story of the life of Jesus. This is one that we have spent thousands of years trying to figure out how to explain away, trying to figure out what just happened here. And I'm not here to tell you that somehow, oh, I've cracked the code. Aren't you glad that you're here today? Because we've spent 2,000 years trying to figure this out. But you've got me. So you didn't need 2,000 years. You just need to come to church today. And we've got it all figured out. No, we're going to walk through this story together. And we're going to look and we're going to try and discover what it is that Jesus is doing and saying here. Because in this story, a desperate mother comes to Jesus. A mother whose family is in crisis. Her daughter is suffering. And she comes to Jesus. She falls at his feet. And she begs him for help. Exactly the posture that we would want people to come to Jesus with, a heart for the ministry of Jesus. And in response to her request, Jesus responds in a way that sounds harsh. It sounds dismissive. It even sounds insulting. So today, we're not going to rush past the discomfort. We're not going to pretend that his words sound softer than they do. But we are going to stay with the story long enough to see what it can reveal to us about Jesus. Because sometimes these difficult stories, we assume that grace is hard to find in them. But sometimes these stories can reveal a mercy in Jesus that's wider than anyone could imagine. So in Mark chapter 7, Mark begins the story this way, starting at verse 24. Say that Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. Now, this can seem like an insignificant travel detail, but this actually sets the backdrop for everything that we're going to talk about this morning, because it matters deeply. Because while we wouldn't necessarily be aware of this, but Tyre was a city beyond the traditional boundaries of Israel. This was Gentile territory. Jesus had gone out from beyond God's chosen people. Jesus had gone out from beyond just the Israelite, the Hebrew people, and he had entered into the Gentile territory, the people outside of God's chosen people, the people outside of the story that God was telling. Jesus had moved into a place many Jewish people, many Jewish teachers, many Jewish rabbis would have viewed with suspicion. He had gone to a people that many Jewish people, many Jewish teachers, many Jewish rabbis would have said, these are not the right people to go to. This is not the story that's being told. Jesus had gone somewhere unexpected. A place where many religious people would not have expected him to go. A place where many of religious people may have said, you don't need to go there. There's no reason to go there. They wouldn't have expected him to go there. They wouldn't have expected him to be with these people. And there, he's found by someone they certainly wouldn't have expected him to welcome. Mark continues in verse 25. He'll say, in fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. Mark will continue to say, the woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Mark introduces us to this woman, and he wants to make it clear to us just who she is and what her story is. She's a woman approaching a male Jewish teacher. And just that in and of itself, even inside of Jewish culture, that's not the way it's supposed to go. But she's not a Jewish woman. Mark tells us she's Greek. She's a Gentile. She is an outsider. And he wants to make sure that we know. So he says she was born in Syrian Phoenicia. That's a specific town outside of Israel. And he tells us that she was the mother of a little girl who was being tormented by an impure spirit. In almost every category that mattered in the ancient world at that time, in almost every way that mattered, she was an outsider. She didn't belong. She didn't belong to Israel. She had no religious credentials to present. She had no covenant status to appeal to. She could not walk into that house and say, Jesus, I belong here. I need to talk to you. She didn't belong, but she came anyway. She's heard of this Jesus guy, this person who's healing people, this person who's setting people free, this person who can change your life. And she's heard that Jesus is in her city, in her town. And so whatever social boundary, religious distinction, cultural expectation that might have kept her away no longer applies in the face of her love for her daughter. That she says, I've heard that this Jesus is here. And even though I don't belong, I need to go see him. Because when someone you love is suffering, you stop caring quite so much about whether or not you're supposed to be in the room. So this woman comes to Jesus and she falls at his feet. And this posture tells us a lot. There's humility in it. She doesn't approach Jesus as an equal. She doesn't approach Jesus with entitlement. She doesn't approach Jesus with a strength. She approaches Jesus in humility and falls at his feet. But there's also an urgency in it. She doesn't stand at the back of the room and hope that maybe Jesus will acknowledge her presence. She comes in and she finds Jesus and she falls down at his feet. And there's desperation in it. She comes in and she says, I need Jesus and I need him now. I need to talk to Jesus. There's humility, there's urgency, and there's desperation. But there's also faith in it. Because she wouldn't have come if she believed Jesus could do nothing. She wouldn't have begged him if she didn't believe that Jesus could reach out to her. She came because she believes that whatever is going on with her daughter is not greater than the power found in this Jesus. And before this becomes any kind of a theological discussion, a discussion of covenants and who's in and who's out and what does the Old Testament say and all of these things, we need to allow this to be a human story for a moment. This is a mother whose child is suffering. This is someone who's reached the end of what she can fix, what she can manage, what she can control, what she can offer, what she can do. And now she's heard of this Jesus guy, and Jesus is here. And with her broken, weary heart, she comes to Jesus, hoping that Jesus would do something, anything to help. And some of us know something about praying from that kind of place. Not praying because we have everything worked out. Not praying because our theology feels tidy. But praying because someone we love is hurting. And we don't know what else to do. And so we just come to Jesus with need. She has no status to appeal to. And no insider credentials to present, no argument except this. She believes that there's mercy in Jesus for her story. She comes to Jesus, desperate, believing Jesus can help. And that's what makes his response to her so difficult to hear. In the face of her desperation, in the face of her faith, in the face of her desire for Jesus to act in her life, as she falls at his feet, Jesus says this to her. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. There it is. The sentence that makes this story so difficult, makes this hard to understand. That sounds harsh. It sounds inappropriate. A mother comes to Jesus pleading for her daughter, asking the Son of God to do something to help. Jesus, would you help my daughter? She's fallen at Jesus' feet. She's asking for mercy. And Jesus responds by seemingly calling her a dog, telling her that she's not welcome, telling her that you're not worthy. There's no value in pretending that that does not sound uncomfortable. Sometimes when we come to a difficult passage, our first instinct is to either defend it as quickly as possible, to rush to explain, well, this is what Jesus meant, or to reach for a detail that makes the words, makes the situation, makes the story a little less troubling. We can rush to try and find a defense right away to move past the awkwardness, or we can rush to just ignore it. Just move on. Yeah, that's in the Bible, but let's go to the next story. Well, coincidentally, the next story in Mark is the one we're going to talk about next week. So you can't quite rush past the weirdness to the next story, because we're going to be right back in the weirdness next week, just in a very different way. This does not sound like the Jesus who welcomed children. Does not sound like the Jesus who touched lepers. This does not sound like the Jesus who saw crowds and is moved with compassion. That response, it doesn't sound like Jesus. A woman comes desperate. And Jesus responds like this. And that's exactly why this story belongs in this series. It's the kind of passage that we might rush past because we don't know what to do with it. It's the kind of story that when we read it in our devotions, we just kind of go, huh? And then move on. Because somebody somewhere out there might know what's going on here. I don't, and that's okay. This is just weird. But faith doesn't require us to pretend that every verse is immediately easy to understand. Faith doesn't require us to pretend that I don't understand. Faith doesn't require us to say, that sure sounds wrong, but it just must be right. Sometimes faith means staying in the room with Jesus when we don't fully understand what he's saying. Sometimes faith means taking a moment to recognize what we don't understand, but trusting Jesus enough to continue along the journey. So how do we understand what's going on here? How do we take and interpret what Jesus says? Well, first, Jesus begins with the word first. He says, first let the children eat all they want. That word matters. He doesn't say only let the children eat. He doesn't say there's no mercy for anyone outside. Jesus gives us a picture. And it's like a parable. Jesus would often teach in parables. And he gives us a parable here. And we need to understand the parable and understand the context of the story Jesus is telling. And that will help us begin to understand this. See, Jesus is describing an order within the story of God. God's story with humanity begins when God called a man named Abram. God had called a people. God had called Israel. God made a covenant with Israel, and God had promised that through Israel, blessing would come to all the nations. But as a Gentile woman, and that's where we began our story, by looking at where we were and who Jesus was talking to. And Mark makes it plainly clear, this was not somehow a Jewish person living outside of Israel, that this was a Gentile woman. And as a Gentile woman, she is outside of that covenant story. But Israel was not chosen as God's chosen people because God had no concern for the rest of the world. Israel was chosen so that God's blessing could move through them to the rest of the world. So Jesus begins by saying first, and he's not canceling the wider mission of God, but he is locating where they are inside the story of it. That Jesus is saying that the blessings of God, the bread on the table, first it's for the Jewish people. But that doesn't make the language any more comfortable. Some people, when they talk about this story, and in order to sort of rush past the discomfort, will say, well, in the Hebrew that Jesus spoke here, or in the Greek that we read, the word that was used for dog, it's the word for a pet dog. It's not the word for a wild scavenger dog. It's the word for a pet dog. As if somehow that makes being called a dog, oh, never mind. You called me your pet. Oh, never. That's much better thing. I mean, I guess it is better than the alternative, but a pet dog is still a dog. We don't need to make the language sound sweeter than it is. The woman is still being told, you don't have a place at the table. You're not welcome at this table. So why would Jesus say it this way? Why would Jesus not just heal the girl immediately? Why would he use an image that sounds so uncomfortable? Well, we want to be careful here because we don't want to start to put all kinds of things into scripture that the Bible doesn't say in order to make us feel better. To be able to sum up, well, what Jesus probably meant was this, or how Jesus, what was probably going through his mind was here. Mark doesn't tell us any of that. And so we want to be faithful and careful to not pretend to know more than Mark gave us. But we can pay attention to what Jesus actually does. He doesn't give her a flat refusal. He doesn't say, go away. He doesn't say, there's no mercy for you. Instead, he gives her a parable. He gives her a saying. He gives her a word picture, like a story. And a story of children and bread and a table and dogs underneath it. And this saying, it brings the assumed boundary, the assumed understanding of the world and the peoples of the world into the open. That for the Jewish people in their covenant understanding, Israel first, the children at the table first, and the nations outside, they're not welcome at the table. They're like dogs beneath it. These were not categories that the women invented. These were not categories that even Jesus invented. These were categories already present in the world around them. These were the assumptions many people would have carried with them into that room. That when that woman walked into the room, maybe not in these same words, but those people would have had these same thoughts. You're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. You don't get to come in and be a part of what we're doing. You're an outsider. And Jesus names them. Because sometimes Jesus asks questions or gives hard sayings, not because he lacks compassion, but because he wants to bring out something into the light. He's revealing what's in the room. He's shining a light on the conscious or subconscious thoughts that the other people in the room were already assuming. He's also doing something else. Something that's harder to see. He's also making a space for this woman's faith to come forward. So, maybe Jesus says things the way he does because this moment isn't only about healing the woman's daughter. It is about that, and we're going to get there in just a minute. But it's also about revealing the kingdom. It's about showing that the boundary that everybody thought was final isn't final. It's about showing that the mission to Israel first was always meant to overflow to the nations. It's about allowing the faith of an outsider to become a witness to the insiders. The disciples needed to see this. The disciples needed to be confronted with this. The church needs to see this. We need to be confronted by this. Because as Jesus speaks these words to this woman, she sees something in the picture that others might have missed. In the picture Jesus gives her, the children are eating, the dogs are nearby, and the table's not empty. But maybe what sounds at first like a locked door may be an invitation to look a little more closely. She hears what sounds like exclusion to us. We read that statement, and immediately, we don't know what to make of it. Why would Jesus respond like that? Why would he say it? Why would he do that? She hears what sounds like exclusion to us. But in her heart, she hears abundance. The sentence that sounds like a closed door, but the woman hears that there's still a table. There's still food. And sometimes that's what our faith looks like, what our faith needs to look like. Not pretending that the words are always easy. Not pretending that the situations are always good. Not pretending that everything is always exactly the way that it should be and nothing is ever wrong. Not denying the tension, not walking away the moment we don't understand, but listening closely enough to Jesus to hear that there might be more mercy in his words than we know how to hear. So this desperate woman falls to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus responds in what feels like a very un-Jesus kind of way. But the woman replies. She says, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This is an extraordinary answer. She doesn't walk away offended. She doesn't walk away confused. She doesn't argue that Israel doesn't have a special place. She doesn't argue that she should have a special place. She doesn't say, Jesus, I came here, and so I should get better than that. She doesn't reject the picture that Jesus has given her. Instead, she steps right into it. She takes the image of the table, the children, the bread, and the dogs, and she says, you're right, Jesus. But even in the picture you described, there still can be mercy for me. There still can be mercy for my home. There still can be mercy for my daughter. Even in what you said, there still can be mercy. She doesn't ask Jesus to take any bread away from the children. She doesn't say, Jesus, they've got so much. If you would just take some and give it to me. She doesn't ask him to empty their plates so that her daughter can receive something. She just simply says and trusts that there is more than enough at the table. And even the crumbs would be enough. Even the crumbs that fall off the table are more than enough for what her and her family are facing. And this tells us something remarkable about how this woman sees and understands who Jesus is. The woman sees abundance where others see boundaries. She believes that Jesus' mercy is not scarce, that his power is not limited. She believes she does not, or that he does not have to give someone else less in order to give something to her. She believes that even what falls from the table can carry enough authority to drive the darkness from her home, to change her family, to change her daughter's life. She doesn't need a lot. She just needs Jesus. The woman hears a difficult saying, somehow recognizes there's still grace in there for me. She sees something about Jesus that it's so easy for others to miss. She understands that the mercy at Jesus' table, the bread at the table, the blessings of the table cannot be exhausted. And perhaps this is why she can be both humble and persistent. Because she doesn't see this as trying to convince an unwilling Jesus to somehow become merciful. She doesn't see this as trying, I need to convince Jesus to do something he doesn't want to do. She's appealing to the mercy that she already sees and believes and understands to already be there. She believes that a crumb of his grace is stronger than the darkness tormenting her daughter. And my friends, she's right. She's right. And so in the face of her desperation, in the face of Jesus' response that can seem so hard, and in the face of her plea to Jesus, Jesus says this to her. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And just like that, the whole story turns. The dogs under the table have been fed. Jesus reached where they weren't supposed to reach. Jesus did what he wasn't supposed to do. He reached where it didn't seem like you were supposed to reach. Now, Jesus doesn't go with her. He doesn't enter her home. He doesn't touch the little girl. He just simply speaks. And from a distance, the power tormenting this woman's daughter is broken. Mark tells us this. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. A woman came to Jesus believing that even a crumb of his mercy would be more than enough to change the story of her family, to change the story of their life. And she was right. She was right. The story is weird, but the grace is so real. And this is where the story begins to find us, to find you and to find me. Because some of us might know what it's like to stand on the outside looking in. Maybe not outside of a house in a place called Tyre, but outside of belonging, or outside of certainty, or outside of the kind of faith that we think we're supposed to have. Some of us carry a history that makes us wonder if there's really a place for us near Jesus. Some of us might feel disqualified because of our failures. Some of us feel like outsiders because we didn't grow up in church, because we don't know all that insider language, because our questions feel too real and feel too complicated, or because our lives don't look like the lives of people we imagine belong sitting at the table with Jesus. The woman had come with no credentials, no insider status, no religious resume. She simply came believing, trusting, and hoping that there would be mercy in Jesus for her. And there was. And this story tells us you may feel far away, but you're not beyond the mercy of Jesus. So maybe today, you feel like the woman. You've come carrying something you cannot fix. You've come with a situation that you're trying to figure out what to do with, and you just don't know. Maybe you've come not knowing whether or not you belong. You're not sure if your faith is strong enough. You're not sure if you have the right words. But you've come today hoping and believing that maybe there is still some mercy in Jesus for you. There is. More than you imagined. More than you deserved. More than your past can cancel. More than your failure can exhaust. More than any human boundary can contain. But this story also speaks to those of us who were more comfortable around the table. Because that room was filled with more than just Jesus and this woman. This room was filled with people who weren't sure that that woman was supposed to be there. Who were fairly sure that, Jesus, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. This story speaks to those of us who are more comfortable around the table. Those of us who know the stories, who know the songs, who know the language, who know when it's time to stand up and who know when it's time to sit down, even before we say it. Because if we're not careful, we can become very good at thinking we get to decide who's close to Jesus and who's far away. So maybe some of us need to let this story challenge the size of our table. Who have we decided is too far gone? Who have we treated as though God's grace, maybe it'll be for them at a later date, or maybe not at all? Who have we decided needs to be kept beneath the table when Jesus wants to bring them into the family? Because this story, it's strange. Jesus' words are difficult. The path to understanding them is uncomfortable. But when this outsider was brought in, this person who didn't belong was brought in, Jesus didn't just accept her and say, "You're welcome here." Jesus loved her. Jesus changed her story. The grace is real. A desperate mother came believing that even a crumb would be enough. And she discovered that there was more mercy at his table than anyone could imagine. And by grace, there's room for you and me too. So three takeaways for our time together this morning. First, sometimes faith means staying with Jesus before we can fully understand him. The woman doesn't turn away when Jesus' words are confusing or challenging. Instead, she stays in the conversation, trusting that there's more grace in Jesus than what she can see. Faith isn't pretending that every passage is easy, but it's continuing to trust the one who speaks, even when we don't always understand his words right away. Second, Jesus' mercy is abundant. The woman sees what other people might have missed. There's more than enough at Jesus' table. She believes that his mercy didn't have to be taken from someone else in order to be given to her. She believes that his grace is never limited and it's never exhausted. And third, no one is beyond the mercy of Jesus. The story begins with a woman who appears to stand on the outside of every boundary that should have kept her from Jesus. Yet she discovers that his mercy reaches further than anyone there would have expected. Whether we feel like outsiders ourselves or have quietly decided that someone else is too far gone, Jesus' grace is always greater than the boundaries we build. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for these hard stories. I thank you that not every story is neat, not every story is tidy, not every story comes together with a perfect little bow on it. But God, I thank you that in the face of what seems like such a difficult story, God, I thank you that we are reminded of the breadth of your mercy, the breadth of your grace, the breadth of your love, that there's not a finite amount of your love, that there's not only a certain amount that you'll tolerate before you've had enough. But God, I thank you that there's mercy enough for me, there's mercy enough for all of us. God, I thank you that you are a merciful God. You are a compassionate God. You are a loving God. And God, I thank you that we are never so far away that you can't reach us. That we are never so far away that you can't change us. That we are never so far away that you can't reach down and in your mercy, your grace, and your love, change our story in a moment. And so, God, I pray for each one of us here today. God, each one who has been walking through the story of their lives, trying to understand. Trying to figure it out, trying to make sense of how the story is unfolding. And God, I thank you that we can be reminded that even when we don't understand, God, we can still trust. And so God, I pray for each one of us walking out the middle of this story who need a touch from you, need mercy from you today. God, I pray that you would show yourself, you would give your mercy, you would pour out your grace, your strength, and your love. God, I thank you that in this story, God, at a word, you changed the story of this family. And God, in a word, you can change the story of our families. You can change the story of our lives. God, you can turn what's broken into what's right. You can restore, you can build, you can give, you can heal. And so God, I pray that you would, with that same word, with that same mercy, with that same grace, speak into our lives today. That you would be at work in our hearts, in our lives, in our situations, and that you would be at work in us and through us. God, I thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you for the way that you so lavishly pour out your mercy and your grace on us. God, I thank you that you meet us in our hardest moments. And God, you give us your grace. You give us your mercy. God, may that be our testimony today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so grateful for your mercy on our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,